afternoon. It's my privilege to be here and to be at home. Although I'm not normally this nervous in my own home, and because of all the reasons you've heard, one could be nervous, but you'll understand an extra sense of nervousness with my mother-in-law sitting right in front of me. No, actually, it's comfort because I know out of all, she'll be praying for me, and I'd appreciate your prayers during this message as well. I'd like to read with you in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 27, to begin with. I have a number of verses I would like to read, and I'm sure you'll begin to pick up on the subject as we go along. Matthew, chapter 27, and we'll begin reading from verse 1. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Pilate, the governor. Now, verse 11. And Jesus stood before the governor. And the governor asked him, saying, Art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, Thou sayest. Verse 15. Now at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would, and they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Verse 19, when he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. And sadly, he didn't listen. Verse 24, when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person, see ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children. Verse 58, same chapter, verse 58. He, that is Joseph of Arimathea, went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. Now, verse 65, Pilate said unto them, Ye have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as you can. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. And of course, that's not a Timex or a Rolex. That is a guard that was given to watch the tomb of the Lord Jesus. Chapter 28, verse 11. Now, when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city, the guards, and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you, or release you, or make you relax from all stress and anxiety. Now go to the next gospel. Mark's gospel will pick up one verse and verse 15. I'm sorry, chapter 15, Mark 15, verse 10. Again, we're reading about Pilate. Verse 10 says, For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him, that is Jesus, for envy. Now, keep moving, if you would, please, over to Luke's Gospel, chapter 23. Luke, chapter 23. I hope all this jumping around is not putting you out of breath or dizzy, but it is important, I think, when we come to the subject, all of these verses. Luke 23, verse 6. When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man were a Galilean. As soon as he knew that he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at that time. Verse 12, And the same day Pilate and Herod were made friends together, for before they were at enmity between themselves. Now, of course, we'll move over to the last gospel, and John chapter 18. John chapter 18 and verse 35. And Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew?" Verse 38. Pilate saith unto him, "What is truth?" Chapter 19, verse 5. Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and purple robe, and Pilate saith unto them, "Behold the man." Verse 8. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid. Verse 14. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, and he saith unto the Jews, Pilate, "Behold your king." Verse 21. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, "Write not the king of the Jews, but that he said, I am king of the Jews." Pilate answered, "What I've written, I have written." One last reading, Acts chapter 4. And I thank you for your patience and for following along on these readings about this man, Pilate. Acts chapter 4, verse 27. This is actually part of a prayer of some believers in Jerusalem after Peter and John have been released and come to them, and they're praying, verse 27, "For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done." Now, in the first part of the meeting, you have been listening to and focusing upon students with a leader, a teacher, disciples, and learning. I would like to, in English, flip the coin over and look at the other side. If you're speaking Spanish in Mexico, we say flip the tortilla over. And we'll look at the other side of it now. I want to not look at the student side. I want to speak to you this afternoon about the subject of leadership. Leadership. Now, before I get to that, I need to just explain and make two disclaimers. The first one is, by taking up the subject of leadership, I in no way have in my heart any intent whatsoever of launching salvos against the leadership of this assembly. I think they know well how much I respect and appreciate them, nor is my intent to throw any rocks, throw any stones at any leadership of any assembly in the area. The reality is I am looking at potential future leaders, which is the greater interest in my heart. And I wonder, as we're sitting here today, all of these young people here, the future leaders, now not all will be future elders, will be elders, but now is the time to learn principles of leadership. But really, leadership pervades all of our lives. You see, every husband, the head of the woman is the man. And headship involves leadership. So if you're married, you are a leader. And if you're going to be married one day, you need to be a leader. And if you're going to marry some guy sometime, it does not matter what he is, does he have leadership qualities? And so I want to just speak about leadership, and I think you'll see that it pervades all of our lives. Sometimes it is true that wives get a bad reputation. And maybe it is said, I'm not speaking about anybody here, of course, that maybe it is said that, well, you know, she's pretty overbearing. She's pretty controlling. She wears not pants, she wears the pants. And she is, and on we go, or they go. It may be true, but it could also be because there's a lack of leadership. And sometimes children get a bad reputation. Little savage, he's just a rebel. What do we do with him? Little tremendous, he is, pardon me the expression, the word, he's a little, well, a brat, you know, one of those. Maybe we have a corner in the market down there. You see, these children are just, well, maybe they are. But it cuts pretty close to home when you're a parent, join the gang. Not always the case, but sometimes it's because there's a lack of leadership. So I hope you'll join with me now, because I want to look at Pilate and I want to learn lessons from a lousy leader. Lessons from a lousy leader. It is interesting that when you come to the cross, I've been enjoying it lately, that at the crucifixion you will find all kinds, it's as if the Spirit of God has put all of these these awful examples of people around the cross to make the bright gem of our Lord Jesus shine brighter. For example, you recall that there was a young man there with all of his energy, and he was following the Lord, and then all of a sudden he's got that linen cloth, and it doesn't matter, even though he's going to be run away naked, the cloth is pulled away, is unraveled, and away he goes. A young man who fled from the cross. Thank God there was another young man who didn't flee. The same word is used, they took him. They took him. See the contrast? Why, there were the people in that day, what did they say? They said, his blood be on us and upon our children. They didn't care about their future children. What did the Lord Jesus say? He said, women, don't weep for me, but weep for yourselves and weep for your children. See the contrast between one who was thinking of the future of children and those who didn't? Here we have a contrast between a lousy leader and the loveliest leader of all, our Lord Jesus Christ. So look at me now at some simple lessons from a lousy leader. It is interesting that it is in the Gospel of Matthew that 8 times you have this word used. Pilate, the governor. This staccato pattern. It's setting up the contrast between the ultimate consummate leader and this failure. This lousy leader. And so in the Gospel of the King, where the king is presented, the contrast is this lousy leader, Pilate. Now, the first lesson I want to learn is that leadership should be by qualification instead of position. Leadership should be by qualification instead of position. Pilate was the governor. He was the governor of Judea. His responsibility was to look over and be accountable to the emperor. And he was in that position, all right? But when you read the story and you ask that question, maybe you've ever had a boss like this? And you have wondered, how did he ever get into that position? Well, we're not told in the Bible. It is interesting to read that likely his wife was likely a granddaughter of the great emperor Caesar Augustus. And you say, okay, now I understand. You know, a little family pull. We call that in Mexico, they talk about a palanca, a lever. What was his lever? How did he get into this position? Was it a case where he got... You see, he was trying to rule by position and not by qualification. I am the governor. And he bullied at times, and he pushed, and he enforced, and at times he backed away. And it's just repeated before us. His only leadership was by his position, the governor. You know, when it comes to being a husband, any old person can walk down to the justice of the peace, and with a girl, any old guy can get married and be pronounced husband. But that doesn't mean you're a leader. That doesn't mean I'm a leader. You see, you can't lead in that just because, well, after all, I'm the husband. I'm the head. And if you didn't know it, I'll repeat it and even louder if you'd like. You see, that's not leadership. That's leadership by position. Trying to just use the title, the responsibility, the word, the position. After all, I'm your father. And you just the word father, you want to see the knees start to vibrate. That's poor leadership. That's Pilate leadership. What do you find in the New Testament when it comes to the assembly? Read 1 Timothy chapter 2 and you'll find that there's a list of 15 requirements. Read Titus chapter 1. Requirements for those who want to be in leadership. Why is that important? In the assembly, God wants men who are going to lead because of qualification. They are leaders that draw people after them. They are supremely qualified by biblical standards. They are not perfect men. Thank God, God can train us once we're in the position. But far better to meet the qualifications and to learn them ahead of time. Qualifications of a husband, qualifications of a father, qualifications of a mother. We'll come to that in a minute. Qualifications of an elder. You know, it may have been that way, but Pilate, they say that the emperor at that time, Tiberius, he exiled himself and put himself on an island. I don't know whether he felt he needed a permanent vacation or what his motives were, but there he was in this island. And he put a man in charge. Maybe his name was Sejanus. And this man, he was now going to rule. Well, he was just on behalf of the emperor. He didn't really give it all up. And he was of what they called the equestrian class. What a surprise. Pilate was of the equestrian class. You say, was it a little bit of cronyism going on? A little bit, if it wasn't nepotism, you know, get your family in there. I know of no known cases of this in my mind right now. There's nothing. God is my witness. But if anybody becomes a leader because family was pushing, or because, after all, he's a friend of the correspondent, or after all, he works with, God's leadership is by qualification and never out of position. But I want you to think with me now about the second lesson from this lousy leader, that we should lead, leadership should be by truth instead of tradition. Truth instead of tradition. It's John's gospel who tells us that when the Jews came to Pilate, he said, he says, you have a custom. You know, the custom about taking a prisoner and releasing him, Barabbas? He said, you have a custom. That's not what Mark says. Mark says he was wont to, it was his custom. So what was this man, how was he, his leadership was, well, this is what we've always done. And now we'll just carry it out. I'll stand on tradition. Look what tradition brought. Now, traditional truth is not tradition in this sense. Please don't confuse the two. Truth that has been held for a long time is one thing. Tradition, well, that's what my mother always did. And that's what my father did. That's what we've always done in the assembly. Thank God for consistency. But there has to be leadership that's based on conviction, on truth, on the word of God. Pilate is floundering. Notice when you're reading through the story of Pilate, just count the number of questions. I think I counted 17 questions. And he's just question after question. And you say, well, he must be a good judge if he asks a lot of questions. I think he'd make a good lawyer. No offense. And so then there he was. Question. But he never comes down, really. He has no guiding principle. There's no anchor in this man. He does not have the biblical conviction. He is not leading upon truth. All he has, well, in fact, what did he say? He looks at the Lord Jesus. It may have been said in sarcasm, may have been said in spite. I think he just opened up his heart and gave the whole thing away. He said, what is truth? I don't even have a clue. Leading children, how could I ever lead them into proper conviction if I don't have biblical conviction? If I can't open up the Word of God and say, this is what I believe and why, and I can find it in this book and explain it in its context, how could I ever lead my children? You say, well, I'll take them to the meeting and let others. No, they're not the leaders. You are the leader. I am the leader in the family. And we are responsible to lead, not because we have always done that, or because of tradition, or because of custom. And you see, what happens is, you ever notice what if Pilate was a lousy leader? What about those who were under his leadership? You know, they talk, you just read a little bit of the story. Josephus and Philo, those two historians, they give us a little bit about this man. And they talk a little about the atrocities of his soldiers. You say, how could they be so cruelous? There's a man who just died on a cross, and they're having a gambling session. They're playing cards over this man's clothes. How could they walk in and they could mix the... Remember chapter 13 of Luke? Pilate mixed the blood of the offerers with the offering there, right in the Jewish temple. This wicked, cruel man. Well, he didn't actually do it himself, probably. It was likely his soldiers that went in. It may have been over an aqueduct that he wanted to sponsor. And he went in and he took, remember the Corban? He may have taken that money for himself. And out of disrespect for those people, they responded and they were upset. And so he had a signal, all of them, his soldiers come out with clubs according to history. You see, they were wicked men. They had no principles either. You see what a lack of leadership by tradition produces. May all of us leaders, leaders in children's work, leaders in the home, leaders in a marriage, leaders in assembly, feel the tremendous burden. We've got to have the truth, or we will produce a generation of pilot. You say, oh, surely we wouldn't produce these kind of barbarians. Hopefully not. But if we do not get truth and pass it on and lead upon truth, who knows what the results may be? Then now the third thing I want you to notice is leadership. Leadership should be by dealing with issues instead of deferring issues. This was Pilate's status, his mode of operation. This is what he did normally, apparently, at times. You notice what he says. First thing we get is that the Jewish leaders came to him, and so he says to them, why don't you take him and you judge him, Jewish leaders? Judge him according to your law. You're Pilate, the governor? Hello? He pushes it off to the Jewish leaders. He defers it to them. Then when he hears, Galilean, oh, that's out of my jurisdiction. And he tries to ship him off to Herod. Only the boomerang comes back to him. It's back at him again. So what does he do? He gets that water and he washes his hands and he says, I'm clean. I'm deferring it now. And the people foolishly say, his blood be upon us. You see what he's doing? Deferring. You see, that's different. That's different than delegation. That's different. I think you all know that Brother Dave and other brethren on the oversight here are capable of speaking from this desk. But they have, in the fear of God, they have delegated this. But if something goes wrong at this desk this weekend, who will be responsible to God? They have not deferred that. They have delegated, but they will ultimately be responsible. And I think they have expressed that. You see, delegation is where I give the work to someone else, but I remain accountable and I remain responsible. That's different. Deferring, Pilate says, I want to push it all off on somebody else. So if it goes wrong, a long way from here, one time I had the awful responsibility of having to speak to a brother and his wife about the behavior of their children. Don't worry, I don't do that anymore, unless I have to. But I had to. And so, shaking, I went to him and I said, you know, and I tried to just be gentle and kind and future leaders, can I just give you a little piece of advice? Be very careful in these situations. It's a delicate thing to speak to a man and his wife about their children. Sometimes it's necessary. And I said to him, you know, I just want to speak to you about trying to give you some help with your children. Oh, I know what you're going to say. But you don't understand my wife. She will not discipline the children. He had mastered already the deferring. If the Lord had given me a different wife, almost sounds like Adam. If the Lord had given me a different wife, I had to give him the other side of the story much more seriously. Don't defer. You can delegate, but you're ultimately responsible. Pilate deferred. He deferred to other people. Was that what was happening there in First Corinthians, chapter 6? There were some civil problems between some of the believers. And so, 1 Corinthians never mentions elders. Lots of ideas why that was. But he does ask the question, is there not a wise man among you? Is there nobody that can step up and lead the solution to this problem? Is there nobody who can give judgment on this for you? Could you not solve this internally instead of taking it to a pagan judge? See what they were saying? Maybe it was just a deferring. We don't want to get involved in that. We don't want to have problems and division in the assembly. Kind of ironic, isn't it, in Corinth? You see, delegation and deferring are different. And Pilate was leading by deferment. But I want you to think now, but he deferred also not just to other people, but to other times. Other times. They came to him, the leaders, the Jewish leaders, and they presented their case. And ironically, I find that statement just amazing. And he says to them, so what is he guilty of? And they said, well, if he wasn't guilty of death, we wouldn't have brought him to you. Really?
Was he not thinking? Hello, Pilate? Use your brain. What they just said doesn't make sense. Hey, they have him guilty before. Pilate says, okay, well, let me look into it. And he looks into it, and then he passes him off, and then he comes back, and he looks into it a second time, and he interviews him, and he interrogates him, likely three times maybe, at least. And what is happening all of this time? See, he's deferring. He's deferring in time. A little later we'll deal with it. A little later. A little later. A little later. And the Bible says by the time he washed his hands, there was a tumult made. You see, what happened was because he didn't deal with the problem when it began, the crowd and the problem grew. What does it say at the very end? It says not only a tumult was made, it says that that gave them time to stir up the people. You see, it's so easy to just defer to another time. We work, this probably doesn't even apply to anybody here, but you know maybe in Newark and people that have never heard the biblical teaching on raising children, and they say, child, I've told you, and if you don't do whatever I'm going to tell you to do, you're going to find out when your father gets home. Nice deferment, sister. Well, you say, well, he. No, no, no. You deferred on time. That needed to be dealt with then, right? Come on, be honest. Well, now, let's just, I got this problem here with my wife, and I think I'll just wait until maybe she comes and she apologizes. And I'll defer on time. Problems, I know we need grace to know when to wait upon God. Sometimes problems, and that takes great grace and patience. But I am talking about now when it should be dealt with now, and we defer. And what we have to deal with later has grown immensely, like it did for Pilate. And so we need to deal with issues, not defer them to other people when we are responsible, and not defer them to another time, like Pilate. But then I want you to notice that we should have leadership by being open instead of being opinionated. By being open instead of being opinionated. Claudia Brocula comes to Pilate and says to him, I had a dream. This is my wife's favorite point in the message. Listen to your wife. ¿Verdad? As they say in Spanish. True. Get a hold of it. Get the idea now. What's the point? Am I open to wise counsel on this issue? Or am I an opinionated man? See, Pilate was an opinionated man at times. We'll come to that in a second. Very opinionated. Pilate says, now, I heard this woman, and she's had a vision. God has warned her to tell him to have nothing to do with this just man. He ignores wise counsel. Why, there's cases of that in the Old Testament you go to. And they're not in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. And so later when it comes and the Jews come to him and they say, don't write that, Pilate. Change what you put over the cross. Write that he said, Pilate says, no. Ever notice that? When people are not really good leaders, sometimes all of a sudden they'll dig their heels in. Wait, you weren't digging your heels in before, and all of a sudden now? What made him all of a sudden say, no more, I am going to tell you. He just became opinionated, arbitrary. Part of it is because he has no truth underneath him, no conviction. But I want you to see that here was a man who wasn't open to getting wise counsel. Can I just ask all of us who are married here today, if the elders in the assembly came and spoke to you or spoke to me about my marriage, what would my reaction be? And since I already mentioned it, if the elders came and spoke to you about the way you're handling your children or the way I'm handling my boys, what would my reaction be? Ooh. Would there be a division over it all? Or would I be open to wise counsel and my leadership? I want you to notice also the last point is this. Leadership by a servant heart instead of a selfish heart. Leadership by or with a servant heart instead of a selfish heart. In other words, let me just give you three little ideas of how selfishness works, and we'll go in the negative on this one. Don't focus on emotion. You see what it says about Pilate? He was a man who was so selfish, he was operating on a feelings basis, and it says he was more afraid. You say, well, didn't he know? Yeah, that's why we read that verse. It says that he knew that the Jews that for envy had delivered, he knew. But instead of using what he knew, he operated on emotion. Any husbands here that have ever responded in leadership based on emotion? Can't you say anything good about my gospel message? I thought it was pretty good, you know. Well, I guess I'm giving myself away a little bit. Ever respond with emotion? Where your emotion responds, you feel like you're being attacked and you respond? After all, I'm a brother and I preach. And I'm a commended brother. You can't say those kinds of things because it's hurting my pride. I wouldn't be that honest, so I have to puff myself up and respond with emotion. You apply it. Ever do that with your children? Ever have to confess to God, I just reacted to my children with based on emotion instead of what I know? You see how far we have to go? To learn to be it. Did the Lord Jesus respond and act based on emotion or upon conviction what he knew? Jesus, knowing all things that would befall him, he goes forth. Thank God. But then I want you to notice, don't focus on emotion. I want you to notice the no focus on importance. You can pick up that this man was so full of his own importance and so concerned about it. Philo talks about how this man was known for his gross insults. That's why I kind of read it and I tried to give it a little tone, I think. Am I a Jew? You people have any brains? Can you not tell I'm not Jewish? Isn't that the sarcasm? Takes out the Lord Jesus, beaten, bruised, disfigured. Behold the man! Brings him out in front of the Jews again. Behold your king! You see just the insulting, sarcastic tone of this man? You see, when my importance is involved, one way to make myself important is to put and cut other people down. And it is a horrible, popular trend among us in North America. Make fun of the kids. Speak about their faults in front of others. Speak about the negative points of the spouse. Because if she's so bad, after all, I must be better. If she's bad, I'm better. I'm not perfect, of course. See what that does? It elevates pride. And when it comes to leadership in an assembly, could it be sarcasm in a Bible reading? Cutting comment? Oh, where'd you get that? What book were you reading? As if it was a comic book or something. Oh, come on. Use your brain. Oh, you wouldn't say that? What about tones of voice that we send out sometimes? Insulting leadership by insult, sarcasm, cutting. I just love reading through the Gospels. I've been enjoying just looking at the leadership of the Lord Jesus. Giving total respect to every individual, even when they're wrong. He respects them as a person. There's value. Value even with a Judas. Value with a Peter. You see, that's real leadership. But that I want you to notice as well. I want you to notice, don't focus on acceptance. See, you know that they knew that this was a weakness in him. They said, you're not Caesar's friend. If you do this, you know you're not. Because they knew that the most important thing for this man was to be accepted. Accepted by his boss. Accepted by the people. They knew that. You see, Pilate never understood the difference between wanting to be liked and wanting to be respected. I have not mastered that, but I learned that. I remember hearing that one time from an older brother when it comes to children. He said, do you want your children to respect you or do you want your children to like you? I said, is both an option? If I want them to like me, then I do give them what they want in the moment. If I want them to respect me, I will do what's best for them in the moment. Pilate searched his whole life and his 10 years of public service to be liked by other people. And so the old saying is true. What is popular is not necessarily right, and what is right is not necessarily popular. But when we don't focus on being accepted, we focus on what's doing right. That's the leadership of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the tragic ending is this. Pilate, in a moment, arbitrary moment, out of fear, he turns on a group of Samaritans, as the history goes. And so because of his wicked slaughter there, he is called and he is sent down to Rome. And before he gets there, there's a change of emperorship. And now he's afraid. And so somehow he drifts off. And you've heard maybe there's a place there in Vienna where he died. All reports are that the man, lonely, all alone, broke, and completely disrespected, took his own life. Lousy leadership. He never got what he was looking for. Because he worked to be liked. Now, we don't lead to be disliked. Maybe some think we do, but could I just, one last thing, turn this over. Look at those lessons from a lousy leader. This is the second disclaimer, I did not go over those things so that you could now go home with that list and walk into the Bible reading and say, all right, here we go. How are the brethren doing? We're going to give them an evaluation. I did not give it to you, young person, to go home and say, Mom and Dad's down at the table. I've got something to show you. All of us, present and future leaders, need to take this and apply it to our hearts. But just what happens if you are under the leadership of a lousy leader? That's why I read that last verse. What does it say? Pilate, he's included there with a bunch of other lousy leaders. Herod, chief priests. But all that was happening was according to the determinate hand of God that was involved. You see what was going on? Don't despair. There's someone in control, even though the lousy leader is not. Our Lord is in control. May God help us to be lovely leaders like the Lord, instead of a lousy leader like Pontius Pilate. Lord bless his name.